welcome to the movie change-up, I guess, Academy Award nomination reactions. They were announced yesterday, Tuesday morning. I don't know when, by the time you're hearing this, but we're doing this about a day after it was released. Everything, we've been looking forward to it. 2021's been a great year for movies. So we're going to just kind of discuss what was underwhelming, what we would have liked to see on there, what we're happy to see on there, things like that, and just kind of go over reactions from everything. Bobby, I know you haven't seen nearly as many movies as Tristan and I
probably have
this year, but what were your kind of initial reactions and thoughts to seeing some of the movies on these lists?
Well, like you said, I saw a few of these movies, but not nearly as many as you guys. And, you know, some just based on the discourse I heard beforehand, like what kind of the expectations were, there were definitely some surprises. And just, you know, I've kind of been in tune with the online reaction, at least to try, I can bring that into the conversation and see how you guys feel compared to what I've heard and, you know, what you think I should watch and everything. So looking forward to it, even though I haven't seen a lot of the movies.
All right. Well, we'll get right into it and just kind of go category by category on some of these big ones and go over what was nominated. First, since it's already on our screen, we're going to start with Best Director, because this is an interesting one because, like Tristan and I mentioned, I've seen 104 movies that came out in 2021. I've seen everything nominated for the Oscars this year except for 12 movies, and four of those movies are included in the Best Director category here. So we got Kenneth Branagh for Belfast. We got Ryosuke Hamaguchi for Drive My Car. We got Paul Thomas Anderson for Licorice Pizza. We've got Jane Campion for The Power of the Dog, which that's the only one in this list that I have seen, and Steven Spielberg for West Side Story. Tristan, you've at least seen, I think, at least four of these. What here do you kind of agree with? What are you happy to see here, and what would you like to take off here if you could?
Yeah, you did a better job pronouncing the names than the announcers did this morning. I'll tell you that. But I'm happy with this list. I think this is sort of a predictable list in some ways. Like Kenneth Branagh was a leading name for director. He's been leading for Belfast like for the entire run of this award season. So I'm not surprised to see him here. But I am very surprised to see Drive My Car get up here because that was something that really kind of snuck in and. No one really thought, oh, that's going to be an Oscar contender. It seemed like an awards darling, something that the critics would love that would never really come and be like the mainstream hit. It's very slow. It's a three-hour-long Japanese movie, if you don't know. It's a three-hour-long road trip kind of movie, so it's very slow, very monotonous, and even more so than the Academy likes to go for. So I'm happy to see that movie get so much praise generally. Jane Campion, I think, is... It's going to be between her and Kenneth Branagh for the win. I think those are the two that have been competing side by side this whole year. So I think those are the two definitely to be battling it out. But it's good. It's also cool to see Steven Spielberg get in, because West Side Story I thought was very beautiful and no one really saw it. So I wasn't quite sure. It might have gotten like the Last Duel treatment. You can obviously tell Last Duel was a big no nomination for that at all. You know, that's one that could have snuck in here for director. I thought it was very well directed, very meticulously directed movie. But yeah, Spielberg comes in and has that kind of huge box office failure but critical hit, and I think that's kind of a cool one to see in there.
Bobby, based on like movie talks and stuff like that, who's kind of the consensus, like who are people rooting for, or are people surprised at one of these, or is this kind of the consensus?
The biggest shock is that Denis did not make it, Denis Villeneuve for Dune. He was a lot of people's number one choice before the Oscars, that, you know, just because of what he was able to adapt and show the scale and everything and put that story out there. But I think personally that it might be a situation because Dune was a part one and is not a full complete story. Maybe once Dune 2 comes out, he'll get the recognition for that. But yeah, Drive My Car, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but Hamaguchi, he's the one that probably took Denis' spot, for sure. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the biggest shocker, but Drive My Car made it into a lot of categories. I think people were surprised at, but I think online right now, I think it's the biggest talk about this category is Denis. And I haven't heard a lot of like, who's the favorite out of this. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Spielberg personally, Even if he's not what you think is the top contender, there's kind of a feel out there that he's getting toward the end of his career and is going to be retiring soon. So I can see him getting the vote just because of that and because it is a very well-directed movie from everything I've heard. I do want to check this one out.
I think there's also a good outsider shot for Paul Thomas Anderson here. He's been a darling for the critics, and he's always kind of getting nominated for things, and he's never won, I don't think, for Best Director. So this could be his chance to finally get that win. And for a movie that is very different from him, it's much more accessible, I think, than his normal work is. It's much more kind of not so zany, not so abstract, and sort of just very much like a hangout, feel-good kind of movie. So I think it could be one that sneaks in. I know Alana Haim didn't get a nomination here, but she was getting some, sneaking in there with some nominations towards the end of the year. So she, I think there's some love out there for Licorice Pizza. But I think that could be a potential upset if he comes in. I don't know, people will be happy for it. I wouldn't call it, they wouldn't be angry, but it would be an upset because I don't think it's the one that people are predicting to be happening.
Yeah, I would say my personal feelings on this list are, I mean, Spielberg could win it because, like Bobby said, like he's getting towards the end of his career. This could be the last shot that he's really got at this award. But it, from what I've seen and just from the movie itself, like I think Jane Campion, it might be her year this year. It wouldn't surprise me if she won at all. I think the really boring choice, just not even based off seeing the film, but Kenneth Branagh seems to be the really boring choice of the list here to win. He's always underwhelmed me as a director personally, and I would be interested to see how I feel about Belfast, but I refuse to pay $20 to see it. I'll wait till it's on streaming and check that one out. And hopefully it surprises me, but I know when that first started coming out, people were praising it, but I feel like that's kind of died down and a lot of people are more eyeing like disappointment that that one got as much award love as it did. I'm excited for Drive My Car. And I love Paul Thomas Anderson, but Licorice Pizza, again, like doesn't look to me like he's fully utilizing his potential as a director. And maybe I'm wrong on that. I haven't seen the film. And I haven't seen West Side Story, but Spielberg, everyone who saw it said they were kind of blown away by it. Even people who don't like the original. So I don't know. I think the boring Oscars choice is going to be Branagh. So that's always like up there to do it. But I think Campion or Spielberg would be like the most exciting winners, or if Hamaguchi sneaks in there, but I absolutely don't expect that at all. I'm surprised he got nominated in the first place, which is probably enough for that to put Drive My Car out there. I'm sick of kind of seeing the big names always get nominated. Like, yeah, that's cool. Spielberg is getting towards the end of his career, but 2021 was such a great year for directorial debuts, and it's just back to Kenneth Branagh, Paul Thomas Anderson, yeah, Steven Spielberg, three names that we see come up over and over again. Maybe not Branagh as far as Oscars go, but someone who's directed a ton of stuff. So I was a little disappointed by these just because I would have liked to see more like surprise picks like Hamaguchi in there. Because I think there were some really, really great directors this year, like David Lowery for The Green Knight. I would have loved to see that get some love, but obviously I don't think any Oscar voter even fucking saw that movie based on these nominations. So yeah.
And we have a Twitch comment as well. Richard Lemon. Hey, Richard says The Power of the Dog would be the front runner with West Side Story coming from behind. And yeah, that's kind of what I've heard as well, that it could, because Power of the Dog got nominated in so many categories, it's kind of looking like it could be the one of the powerhouses at the Oscars this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if she won.
Yeah, when you look at the list of movies that got nominations, Power of the Dog, by a mile, has the most, you know, and I think that's always a good sign. When you're thinking of Best Picture, it's sort of like, and director in a way, like the director's job is to wrangle in all of these different pieces and make it into like a singular picture. So, you know, so when you think of something like all of these projects we have that where they're very, these large scale things that someone had to take on and rein in and make it into something else. You know, like this Kenneth Branagh's Belfast, I think he could win for that because it's such a personal story to him. Like it's essentially his childhood put to film, like it's an autobiography in a way about his life. So I think the fact that it's such a personal touch, that's something that I think the Academy likes. So I could see Kenneth Branagh coming out and being the upset to come in here just because they love that personal touch, where it's like, oh, it's about him, it's about his love for movies, that specific part of his life. And I think it touches on some political issues too, just lightly enough of a way that it could be a contender, even though I was not a fan of the movie very much at all. Yeah. I think it could be a contender here for like the Green Book kind of win. You know, you walk out of it and you're like, that was good. It was all right. That was good. You know, it was fine. And as long as you don't think about it too hard, it doesn't really rear its problems. So it could be that kind of movie.
Yeah, well, while we're we're talking about Best Director, we already talked about that. Let's move on so we can touch on more of these here. We'll go next right down to Best Actor right below it. Now, this is a category I think Tristan and I have seen.
And I think I've seen all five. Too.
Tristan's seen four. If Joe's in, let's bring him in.
Yeah.
I'll just start reading them, and Joe can just hop on when he does. So, Best Actor, we have Javier Bardem. What's up, Joe? Going to Best Actor. We just touched on Best Director. I know you haven't seen a lot of these movies like Bobby, but I think you and him are good at kind of, you know, mentioning the general consensus, and you're good at knowing like the odds. I know you check that. So I think you'll bring a lot to that of knowing who the favorites are. Best Actor, we have Javier Bardem for Being the Ricardos. Oof. Benedict Cumberbatch for The Power of the Dog. Andrew Garfield for Tick, Tick, Boom. Will Smith for King Richard, and I'm happy to see Denzel Washington in here for The Tragedy of Macbeth. Getting right into it for myself, Javier Bardem is terrible in Being the Ricardos. As far as Javier Bardem can be terrible, he never disappears into the role. That movie sucks. It's one of the worst movies, if not the worst movie from 2021, and it didn't deserve any Oscar love, but it has big names behind it, including Sorkin and Kidman and J.K. Simmons and Javier Bardem. And it is a movie that, you know, if however many Oscar voters, every single one of them sees Being the Ricardos, and 10 of them see some of the smaller movies from this year that had 1,000 times better performances, you know, you cast your net big and that's how you end up with this. That's my only explanation because, you know, I mean, the Academy voters have always in the history of the Oscars just liked big name actors playing famous people, especially when it's Hollywood adjacent. That's a terrible nomination, and it's a disgrace that that's nominated over Nicolas Cage giving one of his career best performances from Pig. I thought that one had a chance. That was a real bummer to see. I can't really disagree with the others on this list. I thought Will Smith, he is a huge name actor, and he actually disappears into the role in King Richard, which is not easy to do, so I credit him for that. Denzel's incredible in Tragedy of Macbeth, probably the performance of his career outside of maybe Malcolm X. And Andrew Garfield, I didn't love Tick, Tick, Boom as much as probably Tristan and Bobby did, but I thought Andrew Garfield was easily the best part of it, so I'm happy to see him on there. And Benedict Cumberbatch, to me, I thought his accent was inconsistent, but he was still phenomenal in Power of the Dog. So I'm happy with four. It's probably the biggest snub for me of the list that Javier Bardem makes it over Nicolas Cage. I would have liked to see Cage get in there. I don't know if he would have had a chance to win if he did, but he absolutely deserved a nomination. So whoever wants to jump in, let's go with...
I'll jump in because
I'm more familiar with these. Joe.
Go,
Joe.
Johnny brought up a little bit, you know, about knowing the odds and stuff. I like to bet on the Oscars because it's one of those things that's relatively predictable that people like to act like it's generally not. I try to find, you know, what is Vegas saying compared to what are people in the entertainment industry saying? And if Vegas has a long shot that everyone in the industry is like, oh, that's the favorite to win, I usually tend to bet on that. And there's also trends to look for, like the space movie that's a realistic space movie and not so much a Star Wars, quote unquote, Apollo, you know, 13 or First Man or any of those type of movies are always going to win the special effects Oscar. Anyway, King Richard is the heavy favorite to win this award, Will Smith. I think it's probably going to be a little bit of a career award, as well as, you know, he might have been the best actor this year. He's currently at -325. And if you don't know what that means in the sports or in the betting world, -325 essentially means if you bet 320 if you bet $325 and he won, you would win $100. So basically, pretty good odds. Javier Bardem, who Johnny was trashing, is currently in last place right now at +3,300, meaning if you bet $100 for him to win the Oscar and he ended up winning, you would win $3,300. So not really expecting Javier Bardem to win, Benedict Cumberbatch in second place, Andrew Garfield in third, and then obviously Denzel Washington in fourth. And I think it's probably any of those top three, Will Smith, Benedict Cumberbatch, or Andrew Garfield could win this for various reasons.
Yeah, this is a great list right here, honestly. I haven't seen King Richard, but I've seen everything else, and I definitely plan on seeing King Richard before awards night because it's on the list, and it's gotten plenty of nominations on here, so it's one I got to get to. Javier Bardem being the Ricardo is kind of an embarrassing nomination. This movie gets a lot of embarrassing nominations, and then didn't get nominated for the one of the four characters that I thought was actually a pretty good performance. They gave nominations to the three worst ones, you know, but that's okay. And Benedict Cumberbatch has gotten praise a lot for his Power of the Dog performance, and I think rightfully so. He has so much nuance in there and so much little tiny moments to chew on. And I think Benedict Cumberbatch, for a lot of people, even though he's in a lot of movies all the time, you know, he gets lumped into being, the Doctor Strange guy. And people see that performance like that's like the most he can do, you know, and I think that's a very limiting performance that doesn't necessarily let him do anything, really. So I think when you see him get into a movie like this, when he's able to play up on that kind of like grouchy, suck up kind of type that we see him as, and get into the nuance of that type and get into the nuance of what that man actually is like and what kind of drives a person like that. And the highs and lows, they don't try and make this guy out to be like a completely cruel, evil person. There's some humanity behind him too. I love the complexity of that character, and so much of that is because of Benedict Cumberbatch's performance. And you see how badly the Power of the Dog could have gone in the hands of someone who would have played it bigger and would have really gone for the showiness of the performance and given away a lot of the kind of nuance of the power dynamics in there. So I think he sells that movie so well just on his performance alone. So I love that. And yeah, Tragedy Macbeth, Denzel Washington, awesome performance to sell that dialogue so naturally. And saying it as if you would naturally say it. And this word we'd never say today. And he sells the emotion, he sells the meaning, you know, even if you don't understand the specific words he's saying, the expression of the performance sells you on what he's feeling, what he's going through in the moment. So I think that it's almost like he's in a foreign film without subtitles in some parts, and he's just through the nuance of his performance telling you what this character is experiencing. But for me, my pick for the win, if I was picking the wins, is Andrew Garfield. I think that's an incredible, energized performance that is like a career turn for him. And everyone's been talking about, is he going to be in Spider-Man? Is he not? You know, and is he the werewolf? Is he not? And they should have been talking about how good he is in Tick, Tick, Boom. And I hope that maybe that attention all year long will help him bring the win home here, because that's the one I'm pulling for. In an outside shot, of course, without having seen King Richard, I'm hoping for Tick, Tick, Boom to be the winner here.
Bobby, any quick thoughts before we move on to Best Actress?
Just that I have seen Tick, Tick, Boom, and Andrew Garfield is phenomenal in it. So I would not be mad if he won. I still want to see really all of these on the list, except maybe being the Ricardos. But I did watch today Johnny Pig. Nicolas Cage should definitely be on this list over, from what I hear, of Javier Bardem in the movie. But that would have been a great nomination.
No Ben Platt for David Henson. Yeah, where's Ben?
Nope.
Right. Definitely. Shout out to one of my favorite performances of the year that I knew wasn't going to get nominated just because not enough people would even know it exists is Winston Duke in 9 Days gives one of my favorite performances. If not for Nick Cage, it would have been my favorite performance of the year. And it's one of my favorite performances in the last probably 5 or 6. I think he's incredible in that movie. So I would have liked to see some smaller films get some love. I thought that's why they changed this whole Oscar thing and started to try to expand on the voters, and then we still get being the Ricardos, things like that, very boring choices constantly. It's the same thing year after year. And that goes into our Best Actress category as well. So we got Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. We've got Olivia Colman for The Lost Daughter. We've got Penelope Cruz for Parallel Mothers. We have Nicole Kidman with her career worst performance in Being the Ricardos. And we have Kristen Stewart in Spencer, which honestly, that was the one nomination of the list that I was just very excited to see, because I think Kristen Stewart gives the performance of the year. And I hope she can walk away with the award. Not that she cares, but I'd like to see her win it, because that to me, out of all of these, is the deserving one. The one I haven't seen is Parallel Mothers, but I'm excited to. And Jessica Chastain is good in The Eyes of Tammy Faye. But the makeup in that movie is so terrible, and it got nominated for an Oscar. It's the worst makeup I've ever seen outside of like a corny sketch in like an SNL skit. But she's great in it. She carries the film. Her and Andrew Garfield make it watchable, because otherwise it would be extremely goofy. And Olivia Colman, I thought, was good in The Lost Daughter, which she always is. But yeah, Nicole Kidman, even worse than Javier Bardem in his role, is Nicole Kidman doing Nicole Kidman reading Sorkin lines and pretending to be Lucille Ball, but not at all, and just being super unlikable the whole time. So yeah, that one bummed me out to see her in there, because there were so many. This was a really, really deep category this year, and we still end up with Nicole Kidman and being the Ricardos, which kind of sucked. Bobby, real quick, before we get to Tristan, who's seen more of these, and Joe with the odds and stuff, was there a reaction from like any of the movie shows that you watch on like Nicole Kidman or Javier Bardem that are more positive than like Tristan Knight?
Yeah. So there were definitely some others that really did love that movie and thought that they were great. And then a lot of people that had, you know, no reaction to it being like, oh, you know, it should be there, but I'm not pushing for it or not mad about it. But there's definitely some that like that movie seems to divide people. I haven't seen it yet, but you either kind of fall in love with the style of it and what they're going for as far as the, at least Sorkin style, or you're out of it completely, like you were. So I'd be curious to see what I think. But personally, I'm just really excited for Kristen Stewart, like you said. I think she's outside of Twilight and the Snow White and the Huntsman movie, she's put some really great work out there. And so seeing her recognized is definitely a good thing. Then the biggest thing that I've seen also is what's the lead in West Side Story?
Rachel Ziegler?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say she should have been nominated for this as well. Penelope Cruz was a surprise, and at least that one was definitely a surprise.
Yeah, I was definitely happy to see Penelope Cruz get nominated. I haven't seen Parallel Mothers yet, but it's definitely on my list. I like Pedro Almodovar. I've seen a handful of his stuff, so I'm excited to see the newest one here. And Penelope Cruz is kind of like his go-to actress for the last few decades at this point, so it's kind of like a cool thing to see her get nominated for this, because they've been working together for so long. And Olivia Colman, I thought, was really good in The Lost Daughter. I didn't necessarily get blown away by it, but she captured kind of the nuance of that character in a really calming kind of way. Not similarly to how I said Benedict Cumberbatch doesn't go huge for it, she doesn't go huge for it here in a way that she could have, in a way that I thought was really nice, and but not necessarily top of the year, but she's always a favorite for these kind of Academy decisions, so I could see her slipping and all of a sudden winning this. So I wouldn't be surprised to have Olivia Colman as kind of like an upset choice here.
Again, with this, I think it's just the same thing of, I mean, Olivia Colman's good, Jessica Chastain is always good, but like neither of those performances screamed Oscar-worthy to me, and Nicole Kidman was solely based on name recognition alone. So it's kind of a bummer that in such a strong year,
Penelope Cruz, I feel like, is kind of a sneak in, where it's like, of course you know Penelope Cruz, but like no one was expecting her to get this nomination. So I feel like that's kind of like their fifth slot pick, where they're kind of throwing it out to a bit of a smaller movie. Even Kristen Stewart is at this point, Spencer is not the contender it was seeming like it was going to be. So that's almost like throwing it to a smaller movie, you know? So I feel like this is a very strong category outside of, being the Ricardos, Nicole Kidman. I think this is a strong category. And I think of people like Marion Cotillard from Annette, who I thought would have been a good nomination here, who had a really strong performance in a movie that was not seen by a lot of people. And I think that the lead of Titane, I'm not sure how you're actually supposed to pronounce it, Julia De Cano's more recent movie,
Agatha Roussel.
Agatha Roussel.
That would have been like my Winston Duke pick. Like, that's my small movie that no one saw, that if they did, maybe it would have gotten recognition. My big pick that I'm shocked is not on here and should have gotten more love all of award season is Jodie Comer from The Last Duel. I think is incredible and better than everyone on this list of the movies I've seen other than Kristen Stewart and Spencer. Jodie Comer gave one of the best performances of the year. And again, it's just, who knows who Jodie Comer is compared to Jessica Chastain or Nicole Kidman or Olivia Colman. I think just sometimes the Oscar voters still, it just throws it to the names that they recognize and are more comfortable with. And those are the movies that they'll check out over over other things. But The Last Duel was something that I thought most of them would have seen, and I was shocked that that one was shut out completely of the Oscars. I thought if anything else, or if nothing else, Jodie Comer would be the one representing The Last Duel on these lists. But unfortunately, she didn't get the nomination. So
for me, I'm Ruth Stewart. She's my pick, my desperate hope to win. I mean, when she got nominated, it was if I got nominated, like I was jumping up and down and I was cheering. And like, I swear my neighbors were like, wow, he must have known that person. I was very excited, and I'll be excited. I would love it if she won, but I do kind of feel like she barely got herself in.
At this point, anyone but Nicole Kidman.
All right, do you want to hear the odds?
Nicole Kidman, is she the favorite?
Nicole Kidman is the favorite, but she's at +115. So no one even is. She's favorite, but barely.
It's up in the air.
Kristen Stewart's behind her at +200. So honestly, with it this wide open, and I think Nicole Kidman, I feel like to win, especially an acting Oscar, like you have to have a decent amount of people behind you. And when half the people don't even think you gave a good performance, I can't see Nicole Kidman getting enough push behind her to win. So my guess is Kristen Stewart, who currently in Vegas odds is in second place, is probably going to win the Oscar. And if I had money in my account right now, but I put my last before the season started, before the NFL season started, I had $10 in my account, and I put it all on the Rams winning the Super Bowl. So when the Rams win on Sunday, I'm going to take half of my $120 and probably put it on Kristen Stewart to win the Oscar to double my money. But I know you guys covered Best Director and Best Picture, and those are the only two other categories they have odds for right now. So I didn't know if you wanted me to give just a quick glimpse into what those races are looking like according to Vegas odds.
Sure.
Yeah, we haven't gone over Best Picture yet.
So. Yeah, we haven't done
Best Picture. Okay, you haven't done Best Picture, but I'll
no, talk we haven't about done it. Best Picture. No, no.
I'll cover Best Director.
Yeah, Best Director, we've discussed.
Jane Campion, I'm not 100%
yep.
sure. Director of Power of the Dog is currently at -900. So if she loses, I'll be shocked.
-900.
Yeah. So like, if you didn't catch what I said before, basically,
I didn't think it'd be by that much. But
if you bet $900 on her and she wins, you'd win $100. So, she's probably gonna win. Steven Spielberg's in second place at +750. So there's a very large gap there between the two. So I fully imagine she's going to win, especially she has the narrative behind her of being the first ever woman to win Best Director twice. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And also, can I go on like a little
that would be cool.
mini rant about the problem with the Oscar voting that I think is partially why we're seeing it's a little bit of what Johnny was saying, a lot of these safe choices. Stuff I've been reading about. A lot of the people who are in these groups that pick the nominees, a lot of them more want to have the people they nominated and the people they voted for match the final nomination list more than what they actually think like the best actor, best directors are, so they can go to like their friends at all of these awards parties and Hollywood parties and be like, oh, I picked all the people that got nominated, and try to appear smart rather than like being like, you know what, I thought Nicolas Cage was good, but I don't know if anyone else is going to pick Nicolas Cage, so I'm not going to vote for him because I want my list to match up more with the actual list. And so I think more and more we're just going to see safer picks of bigger names and no names. That's how you get Nicole Kidman as a Oscar nominee this year, when apparently she wasn't very good.
Yeah, the thing about the Oscar voting too is that, I mean, they all get the For Your Consideration screeners and stuff like that from like the movies that are really going for Oscars. But it's their job to see every movie. And if Tristan and I can both have seen 100 movies from 2021 and we don't get paid to do this, it's their job to see these movies and to widen the playing field. Of the 105 slots for feature-length films that the Oscars could have, there are only 33 movies in general nominated, four of which are Coming to America, Four Good Days, Cruella, and Free Guy. So really, you're only playing from a pool of 105 different categories. You're playing from a pool of like maybe 30 movies that all of these people have seen at most. And it's just kind of a disgrace on that part of, like Joe said, like if that's true, that's embarrassing. And the fact that they just don't see anything and then just vote for the big names that are sent to them. You know, like I said, like if every single one of them sees Being the Ricardos, but only half of them see Pig, there's a good chance that Being the Ricardos gets nominations over Pig, even if, you know, more a higher percentage votes for one than the other. They just cast their net as wide as possible. I'd like to see some more representation of more movies on these Oscar voting, because you can't tell me that there's only like 28 good movies in the whole year. That was one of the strongest years since probably 2014. This is maybe the strongest year we've had in cinema in a long time. So that's kind of my like rant on that, too, but we got to move on. So let's get to Best Supporting Actor. We start off with, I don't know how to pronounce this one. Kieran Hines.
Steppenwolf.
Kieran Hines.
Yeah.
Should have been for that.
No. Yep. Well, that doesn't help me. Kieran Hines from Belfast. Troy Kutzer in Coda. Jesse Plemons from The Power of the Dog. J.K. Simmons from Being the Ricardos. And Cody Smit-McPhee from The Power of the Dog. Tristan, we'll start with you. What here do you agree with? What do you wish you could have seen on here instead?
This is I think Troy Koster is definitely the standout hit here, because for me, he's the performance of the year in that movie, and I think he really blew me away in a movie that I thought was not necessarily amazing. I thought his performance in particular was incredible, and he gave some of his scenes in here, especially this scene with, I guess, like a pickup truck where his daughter is singing, and that's all I'll really get into. Is like this, it's a kind of small scene between the two of them, and that's, for me, one of the best performance moments of the entire year. So I'm really happy to see that come in here. And we talk about, oh, I wish the awards would highlight smaller stuff. And for me, this is a good example here of highlighting something small for a standout element of it. Like, Coda, for me, wasn't necessarily an incredible movie all around, but there's this one performance in there that I think really stands out. And for me, that's what I think these award shows should be for. Like, you look at Spencer, and it's like, okay, Spencer didn't necessarily get awards all around, but the Academy was able to be like, okay, Kristen Stewart, you were good in that, though. And I think this supporting actor category kind of shows, similar to what we were having before, where it almost feels like they're trying to match up their titles more so than pick the best performances. Like, Jesse Plemons was fine in The Power of the Dog, but it more so feels like, okay, we want Power of the Dog to be Best Picture, so we got to get Jesse Plemons to, like, be Best Supporting Actor, because we got to get those other awards lined up. And I think, surely, there's a lot more performances you can highlight. Like, I look at the entire cast of Mass, and I think you could put Jason Isaacs in here and easily knock out someone like J.K. Simmons being the Ricardos, who had a very weak performance, and Jesse Plemons, who had a fairly forgettable performance. And I thought Kieran Hines, he might get his kind of like career win here or something, but I thought his performance in Belfast was very forgettable. And this for me is the category you could get rid of like three or four of the people in here and probably have a much deeper category with a lot of richer performances. Even though I do think Cody Smit-McPhee was good in The Power of the Dog, I think even him, there's better performances I would highlight this year than that. So this is a rough category for me.
Yeah, the only two of them on here are two that I think are worthy of it, not having seen Belfast, but from everything I've heard, obviously, with that one. But Troy Kutzer, I think I don't know if there's odds on this. I don't think Joe said there are, but he should be the favorite. He gives the performance of the year in this category for sure. And Cody Smit-McPhee would probably be my second choice for this. But I was bummed to not have anyone from Mass, like you said. Like, Jason Isaacs from Mass, is his performance is so powerful and he's great in it. And it just seemed like that movie was maybe such a dark subject matter that no one wanted to check it out, because we'll get into it with the next category too. But two of the biggest snubs for me were him. Also Ruth Negga in Passing and Dowd from Mass. So I would like to see any of the actors from Mass get in, because it was such a actor-led, you know, a film, an hour and a half of basically them all in the same room, just all giving great performances. And Jason Isaacs does something special in that movie, whereas like Jesse Plemons just kind of shows up and people know who he is. Anyone could have played the role that he does in that movie. He doesn't do anything special. I love Jesse Plemons, but he doesn't do anything special. J.K. Simmons is just J.K. Simmons in Being the Ricardos, which is entertaining always because he's J.K. Simmons, but he's not playing a character. He's just himself reading lines. So those are definitely the two bummers. Bobby, any consensus on these? Anyone talk about these ones? Is anyone disappointed like Tristan and I are?
This category seems to be pretty forgettable, I guess. Not a lot of people are saying a thing other than they're happy for Troy Kotsur, or however you say his name, from Coda.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really have a feel on who anyone thinks is the favorite or anything like that as of now.
I got to imagine that Kotsur's the favorite.
I was wrong. I do have odds for this and Best Supporting Actress categories. Because they ordered
okay.
that.
Okay, all right. Well, let's hear the odds. My guess would be either Cody Smit-McPhee or Troy Kotsur as the favorites.
Well, they are the top two. Cody Smit-McPhee is currently in the lead at -325. Troy Kotsur is in second place with +300. So Cody Smit-McPhee currently has a pretty decent lead right now. And that's who I would bet is probably going to win this.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think Power of the Dog is going to have a really, really big night. And I think this is going to be, whether it's, like they have the odds in their favor here. Of course, they got two categories, two nominees in this one category. But I think this is one that they're going to get for Cody Smit-McPhee. And I can see them sweep in a lot of the acting categories.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. So with that, I don't think we need to say anything else. We get into Best Supporting Actress. So we got a couple surprising choices here. We got Jessie Buckley from The Lost Daughter. I wasn't expecting. Ariana DeBose from West Side Story. Judi Dench from Belfast. I heard absolutely no hype around that performance. And she got nominated. And then Kirsten Dunst, who I think we're split as a panel on, from Power of the Dog. And then Anjanue Ellis from King Richard, who as far as my own personal nomination, she's the only one on here that I agree with.
This was interesting because it was the first one they read, and you go into it and you have all your predictions and on your head, you're like, okay, it's definitely going to be these people, definitely going to be that person. And then the first name you hear from the first category you read is a surprise. They said Jesse Buckley, Lost Daughter, and I was like, oh, Jesse Buckley, The Lost Daughter. She was good, but I was not at all, she was not on my radar to be nominated for this. So it was an exciting category. And of course, Ruth Negga, I think, is one of the biggest snubs of the year. Her and Ann Dowd both are big snubs for this category. But it's hard.
And Catherine Hunter from Tragedy of Macbeth.
Yeah, Catherine Hunter is great. She's so good in that. And this was probably the most stacked category. Like, I would probably take off Judi Dench. But other than that, I think a lot of the people have earned their slot. Ariana DeBose was the shining star of West Side Story. And I think she's the one who deserves to get the acting nomination if they're not going to give it to Rachel Zegler. And Kirsten Dunst, I thought, was really, really good in Power of the Dog. And she really captured kind of being slowly mentally torn apart by these tiny little microaggressions of this guy. And like her mental tearing down across the whole course of the movie was really well performed. So I'm happy to see her here. Good list here. Yeah, a lot of people I wish would be on the list, but it's hard when you have a really, really good year in film to get everybody on there. So for me, I think this definitely was a strong category with some strong nominees.
As far as odds go, Ariana DeBose, West Side Story, is leading the pack right now at -350. Kirsten Dunst, Power of the Dog, is at +250. The thing that's interesting for me is Oscars usually try to start the show with kind of the best supporting actor, supporting actress. That's kind of a lock, and usually it's a bigger name. But Ariana DeBose, Cody Smit-McPhee, neither one of them are very big names or well-known names. So not that they are going to change who wins just to have a bigger name to open, but it is kind of interesting as far as, the broadcast of the show, if they'll change things around just because they want to open the show with a bigger name winning an award. And neither one of those are really going to give that to them.
Well, they changed it up last year, so I wouldn't put it past them this year. It didn't exactly work last
didn't
year.
Work.
But,
didn't
work.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe they'll better luck this year.
Yeah, it didn't work for them, but we shall see.
Bobby, any thoughts on these?
This one seems to be a pretty stacked category, like Tristan said, but Ariana DeBose is getting a lot of attention. Just saying that she kind of steals everything she does in West Side Story. And she's a big like Broadway star and everything, and a lot of people are behind her, so I could see her taking this pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree. We'll go down just some of these other categories we'll be quicker on. I don't have as much thoughts because they're not as big categories, but original screenplay, we got Belfast, which is obviously, you know, getting a lot of nominations. Don't Look Up, which is an embarrassment to be on here. King Richard is a good screenplay, solid sports movie. Licorice Pizza, and the surprise, I think, here for everyone that I saw was The Worst Person in the World making it on here, especially with so many of like the same movies getting nominated for every category, that original screenplay for The Worst Person in the World seemed to be the big surprise. So I haven't seen that yet, but that's the one I'm kind of rooting for here.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm really excited for The Worst Person in the World. I'm pulling for that because we mentioned over and over again how we want the Oscars to highlight the stuff that is lesser seen, and I think that's a perfect spot for it. And it's also kind of rare that a foreign film gets nominated for stuff outside of like the foreign film category, you know. So to see a foreign film sneak into original screenplay, also to have a foreign film get into director, it seems like we're kind of starting to open it up a bit and not necessarily lock ourselves into only being English speaking United States released Hollywood movies, you know. So I think it opens it up the doors a little bit to bring in some interesting stuff. Don't Look Up, not a great screenplay, so hard to root for that one,
to say the least.
But Licorice Pizza, I like that one a lot. King Richard I have not seen, but Belfast, I could see Belfast winning this one, and I would be very disappointed. I'll be crying into my beer in the live stream here.
Yeah, the screenplay Oscars are kind of like the, hey, you were around, you were nominated, but you're really not going to win much of the other awards. You were kind of, it's almost like the silver medal, where it's like, we're not going to give you the gold medal of best picture, and you're not going to win best director. But here's an award because, hey, you made a pretty good movie. And my guess of these, considering how high it is as far as best picture nominations, as far as odds, is I would say Belfast is probably going to win original screenplay here.
Yeah, and I would say it was between Belfast and Licorice Pizza, just because PTA, he's a big, you know, Oscar darling, and I think there's a lot of people that would see like, okay, he didn't win Best Picture, he's not going to win Best Director, but you know what, the screenplay was great, so we're going to give it to him.
Or they just give it to Don't Look Up. Adapted screenplay, we got Coda, Drive My Car, Dune, The Lost Daughter, and The Power of the Dog. Again, a lot of the same movies we've seen before. All of these were nominated for Best Picture, except for The Lost Daughter, which had two different acting categories nominated. So obviously, you know, no one saw The Green Knight. I think that would have been an awesome pick for adapted screenplay, but unfortunately, we don't get that. But I love Coda. I'm excited for Drive My Car, and The Power of the Dog is worthy. And Dune, like Bobby kind of mentioned earlier, like since it's part one of two, I don't know if necessarily this gets the award this year, but maybe when we get Dune part two, I think that probably, if it's just as good as the first one, maybe sneaks in there and wins adapted screenplay and gets nominated again.
Yeah, there were a few that I think I could have snuck in here because it was a very good category, adapted screenplay this year. I was kind of rooting for Boom to get in here. I think they did a great job adapting, taking a concept of a musical and this one-man show and turning it into an actual biopic and still having it kind of wrap around the one-man show. And there's a lot of moving pieces to kind of all kind of keep in place in that kind of a movie. So I was really impressed by that. I also would have loved to see The Last Duel get nominated here because that book is not like a narratively driven book. It's very much a historical book. And when I read it, I was engaged with it, but it wasn't a story playing out in front of me, you know. And they were able to take that in between three writers, turn that into something really powerful and with these very nuanced differences. And when you have the Rashomon premise, you think it's easy to do like the really huge swing different scenes, like scenes that play out totally different ways in one person's POV compared to somebody else's. But this movie really thrived on those tiny little nuances of change, so I would have loved to see that in here. And I also would have loved to see West Side Story, because that did, you would think, oh, they just kind of took the same story and did it again, but they made a lot of changes, moved some stuff around, paced up, moved some songs from one place to another, and I think that really shows, like, you're willing to play with the structure of the original. You're not married to doing it exactly the same way. So I think that shows some inventiveness to be willing to change such canon, like a Sondheim musical, West Side Story. You would think it'd be something they'd be scared to touch, but the fact that it's kind of like this living piece makes it a good screenplay. So those are my things that I think got robbed here. But a really strong year overall. I think I'll be probably pulling for Power of the Dog. I think that's going to be the winner here. But any of these, I would like to see take the win.
Yeah. The other one for adapted screenplay would have been Tragedy of Macbeth. I thought maybe like a Shakespeare thing. The Oscars don't necessarily love Shakespeare, but I thought maybe that would sneak on there from that because they just bring it to life pretty well. Joe, any thoughts on that before we move on?
My guess, just going based on history, a lot of the argument I've said before, I could see Coda being an option. I think it's probably between Coda and Power of the Dog for a lot of the same reasons all you guys have said.
Right. That or maybe Drive My Car sneaks in so they can maybe Drive My Car sneaks in so they say, like, you know, we gave this something.
Yeah, that's true.
But because I don't see that winning any of the other awards, but maybe it will. Animated feature. This was the easiest one to predict. Encanto, Flea, Luca, The Mitchells versus the Machines, Ryan the Last Dragon. The only other real option that would have been something here would be Crypto Zoo. And that was honestly not my style of film, but it was so unique and original. It would have been cool to have that on there instead of Luca, which was such a average, if not below average, Pixar movie. But you knew a Pixar movie, if it comes out, it's getting on this list. My favorite would be The Mitchells versus the Machines, but I would be happy with Flea or that. I think this probably goes to Encanto, and I'm going to be kind of bummed because Encanto's fine. It's fun. It's got a lot of hype around it, though, so I think that ends up taking it. But The Mitchells versus the Machines was so original and so unique and so much fun. Another great directorial debut, and Flea is not like anything I've ever seen before. I don't know if there's ever been an animated feature Oscar going to or nomination going to a documentary before, and Flea is a top 10 film of the year. I loved it to death, but so was Mitchell's versus the Machine. So those would be mine two that I'm really, really going to be bummed if Encanto just takes this, because that's such a boring choice. Even Ryan the Last Dragon is a better Disney choice than Encanto.
Yeah, I think this race is probably going to be between the Mitchells versus the Machines and Encanto. Disney, number one, is going to put all of their focus behind one movie, and it's probably better to put your focus behind the movie that currently has a song playing on pop radio right now. And Netflix, this is their only animated movie here. And so it depends on how much of their political weight is focused on pushing Power of the Dog. Does Mitchell's versus the Machines get lost in the shuffle because they're not focused on it, or do they push both? We shall see. But yeah, I definitely think it's going to be Encanto versus Mitchell's versus the Machines.
I don't have much to say on this.
Bobby, any thoughts? Have you seen these?
I've seen Encanto, which I thought was good, but not great. But it's a sweet movie. But I think, you know, it's not the strongest Disney movie I've seen. But I really want to see Mitchell's versus the Machines. I've heard it's good, and I think it's probably
it's about us two. How have you not seen it?
Oh, I know. I experienced it, so don't need to watch it.
Yeah, to me, I mean,
that's true.
For my personal two, it would be between Ryan the Last Dragon and Mitchell's versus the Machines. Mitchell's versus the Machines was in my like top five overall movies of the year, so I hope that one wins. Mm-hmm. But I think Encanto's gonna be the one Disney pushes, not Luca or Ryan the Last Dragon. Everyone's kind of forgot Ryan the Last Dragon exists. Same with Luca, and I haven't seen Flea.
And I think Flea will win Best Documentary Feature, so I don't think it will take that and animated, but they'll give one to Flea. Yeah. But you know, it would be interesting to see if it sneaks in here. But I thought Flea was really, really incredible. That on a normal year, if Mitchell's versus the Machines didn't exist, that would easily be the top animated film for me of the year. Tristan, how many of these have you seen, and what are you rooting for?
I've seen all except for Flea. But I definitely want to see Flea, and I'm rooting for Flea because, like you said, it's groundbreaking that it is a documentary that's animated, but it also is a serious subject matter in like an adult-themed animated movie that I think would be a groundbreaking choice. Where, you know, animation in the United States is looked at so much as kids' movies, and it would be nice to see something like Flea get that win because it's more mature than your typical, you know, it's more mature than Raya and The Last Dragon or Luca or even Encanto. You're like, I think it would be fun to see a mature movie win. I'm pulling for Mitchells versus the Machines as my choice, though. I think that's going to come in and have that kind of upset win. You know, people are saying, oh, what Disney movie are they going to push? And I think it's going to end up being Mitchells versus the Machines is going to come in. It's not going to be Disney at all. So I think that has kind of like this love that won't go away. It keeps getting nominated at all these shows, and it has kind of like this indie vibe to it. Like, it's not an indie movie, but they're kind of marketing it as like this underdog animated movie that's coming up against the big dragon of Disney. So I could see Mitchells versus the Machines getting that nomination here above Encanto, because Encanto, the music was good, but it wasn't really a great movie as itself. And Raya and the Last Dragon, I thought, was a fine movie, but nothing that blew me away. And Mitchell vs. the Machines, I think, really had an impact, so I could see that being the win.
All right, ready to move on to our next category?
Yeah. Yeah, as far as animated movies go, I'm not usually as high on them, but I will say Mitchell vs. the Machines, out of the 104 that I've seen, Mitchell vs. the Machines is my fifth-rated movie of the year, and Flea is my number 8 of the year. So really strong year for animated, and that means Encanto will probably win and I'll be bumped. As far as the other ones, I don't know if there's anything we really want to touch on here. I'll say for production design, I personally think it's up between Dune and Nightmare Alley, but I'd like to see maybe The Tragedy of Macbeth get some love. You also got Power of the Dog and West Side Story in there. That was the only enjoyable part of Nightmare Alley for me, was the production design. I thought that movie was very mediocre otherwise. Costume design, we got Cruella, Joe's favorite movie of the year, Serrano, Dune, Nightmare Alley, and West Side Story. No real strong thoughts on costume design, unless anyone else does. I think Dune brings to life the book, like, descriptions very well.
Yeah, Dune should win it, but it could be West Side Story because musical and adaptation.
Yeah, these awards do tend to kind of go for like the most costume design usually, where it's like, oh, who has the biggest costumes and the flashiest costumes? Mm-hmm. So something like Cruella and Creano, I think those are easy to get these nominations because they're essentially period pieces and they have these big, huge, elaborate costumes as a part of them. So. Yeah, I do think Dune could get this win, though. I think Dune won't get, like, Best Picture or Best Screenplay, but I think it could get a lot of these technical categories. I think it could come in with costume design. It could come in with production design up here. I think these both could be Dune's award to lose, essentially, because Dune is the blockbuster movie that's also the critical darling, and I think that's going to be the one that comes and sweeps a lot of these technical awards down here.
Right, and the only thing on here that I was bummed not seeing, I don't really care a ton about costume design, but I would have loved to see Spencer on here. I was kind of bummed not to see that represented in any other category. The rest of them, we don't really need to get into. I would say cinematography is one maybe people care enough about. Dune looks beautiful. Nightmare Alley is poorly lit and poorly shot. The Power of the Dog is beautiful. The Tragedy of Macbeth is gorgeous. Absolutely the most gorgeous black and white film I think I've ever seen. And West Side Story, which I haven't seen.
Sounds like someone that's never seen Clerks.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is an incredible category. This is easily the most stacked category.
Except for Nightmare Alley.
I haven't seen Nightmare Alley. I'm definitely have watched it by then. But I mean, I can tell from at least the way it looks in trailers and stuff, it has at least a cool look. I'm sure I'll enjoy at least the way that it looks here. But yeah, West Side Story cinematography is incredible. Like, they were able to take scenes like the thing that people talk about on Twitter a lot, where it's, oh, it's the main character standing in a puddle and it could just be some throwaway shot, but because it's shot by Spielberg and it's in this kind of, they really put the effort behind it. Now, so many of the shots, you can tell they're really trying to make the best shot they could possibly make, and that's a lot of what I like about the cinematography. And when I try and pick out a winner, I think, okay, which one is like putting the most effort to making the best shot they possibly can? And I think a lot of these do that. Like Dune, he captures that world so well, and the uniqueness of the ships flying with like their kind of insectoid wings, and it doesn't look anything like something you'd see on Earth, but it still has that kind of practical Earth reality to it. And Power of the Dog, it shot like a gorgeous Western, and Tragedy of Macbeth, it shot like a 1930s German Expressionist movie. I love that you have such a huge range of movies here on the Cinematography Award, and this is my favorite award of the year in terms of the nominees. So I think a great collection of everything you can achieve through filmmaking in this year with the camera.
All right. Going down, we don't really need to touch on editing.
Who cares about editing?
Please don't give really cares.
Not DC.
Don't look up editing. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, Don't Look Up is poorly edited, and that's just on there because they wanted to throw more awards on that one. Makeup and hairstyling, it's comical that Eyes of Tammy Faye, that's the worst makeup I've ever seen. No one looks human. And House of Gucci, I think, should be the favorite there because actually Jared Leto's makeup in that movie is so good and looks so different. When you compare those two movies of people wearing like fat suits on their face basically to try to look like another person, The Eyes of Tammy Faye looks like a low-budget sketch show, and The House of Gucci, Jared Leto is unrecognizable. And I think that actually is really strong. And Eyes of Tammy Faye, it's hysterical that is on there. And Coming to America. So I have to watch that movie because I'm going to see everything that gets nominated. So thank you, fucking Oscar voters. Sound, visual effects. I don't think the visual effects in Shang-Chi were very good.
No. Dune's going to win.
Visual effects, though. Dune, I think, cleans that one up.
Dune definitely takes it.
Or Spider-Man.
I think Dune gets sound also. I think sound, visual effects, both go to Dune. Score, I would have loved to see Green Knight, but it's not in there.
Yeah. Don't Look Up and Encanto being on there are funny to me. I don't remember any bit of Score standing out in Don't Look Up. And Encanto had good songs, but I couldn't tell you what the score sounded like, and I've listened to the soundtrack. I would have liked to see No Time to Die get on score. I really like the score from that film, but otherwise no strong feelings, really.
I love the score.
And then we get to song.
I think Dune was a really good
Dune score. Yeah, the Dune score is really great.
Oh, yeah.
In a way, it mixes in kind of like these chants into it, and it has kind of like this operatic feel to it. It added a lot to the movie, I think.
Yeah.
Any feelings on song?
Yeah.
Where's Bruno?
Yeah, I do have feelings on song. Thanks. Yeah, there's two standout songs from Encanto.
I know. I know why what they did.
Yeah,
but
Disney fucked
up. Stupid.
Mm-hmm. And honestly,
it is stupid. They chose the song that was more based on the story.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think it might
because
I
mean, No Time to Die
song as well. You know, I think they're going with trying to get that in there.
Mm-hmm. I'll say on this one, so Be Alive from King Richard by Beyonce. I think it's a bummer that we didn't get the Jay-Z and Kid Cudi song from The Harder They Fall because it would have been Beyonce versus Jay-Z. And that category would have made for a fun storyline. Instead, we get some really shitty basic country song, Somehow You Do by Reba McEntire from Four Good Days. I watched that movie today. It was fine. And then the song plays over the credits and it's just like the most basic country song you can ever picture. So that's a real bummer that something not as creative could have been put on that list. We had Annette this year that was a completely original musical, and every song from that movie is better than, you know, that or the song from Encanto that actually got nominated. And I don't remember the song from King Richard at all, and I like that movie.
Yeah, Annette would have been a good nomination. I'm surprised with how much they put Don't Look Up throughout the awards, so they didn't nominate Look Up from Don't Look Up. That would have been, I think, one that put in here, considering they like that movie so much. But it's a weird choice to not have that be here.
Yeah, and it's by Ariana Grande. It's a big name. I'm kind of surprised that one. I don't even know if it made the shortlist. I think it did, and then it didn't get nominated. Breaking these down real quick. Documentary feature, I've seen four of the five. The only one I haven't seen is Writing with Fire, and this might be the strongest category in the entire Oscars this year. All four that I've seen are really good. Attica and Flea are both in my top 10 of the year. Ascension is great. Summer of Soul is in my top 20, and I'm excited for Writing with Fire because the rest of the documentaries have been awesome. I've seen a lot of international films this year.
All I've seen here is Summer of Soul.
Yeah, Summer of Soul is great.
I'll root for that one, I guess.
Yeah. I think Attica is probably my favorite of, Flea is my favorite. I think that takes it pretty clearly, and it doesn't win animated, but I'd like to see maybe if Flea wins animated, I'd like to see Attica take documentary feature because it's such an important story that people just don't know about. Out of the international features, I'm really excited. My two most anticipated movies that I haven't seen of the year are Drive My Car and The Worst Person in the World. I loved Hand of God. It's on Netflix. I highly recommend that to anyone. Flea, like I mentioned, is great. I haven't seen Lunana, A Yak in the Classroom, but I saw I'm Your Man, which is a great film with Dan Stevens. That film is awesome. And A Hero, I'm bummed, is not on this list because that's one of my favorites of the year.
Is there any chance Drive My Car doesn't win this?
Not at all. I think Drive My Car
walks No.
Yeah, I think it's a lock.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's worthy. I just watched Drive My Car. And
yeah, that one's a lock because it got nominated for Best Picture. None of the other ones did. So
yep, it's the Parasite kind of, and every, you know.
Yeah, I think it's an easy win. It's not going to get Best Picture, but the fact that it's got Best Picture, not just that, but it's got adapted screenplay, it's got director, like they're setting this up for an easy international feature win.
Yep.
Right. All right. So that brings us to our big one before we end it. So going back up to Best Picture, the short films, I don't know if they'll be available online this year at the DIA in Detroit. That's where I usually check them out. Last year, because of COVID, they had them online and you could order it wherever you were. If anyone out there hears this and finds out a place you can find all of them to buy online, let me know, because I'm excited to go see them. But last year it was great because you could get all the documentaries, animated and live action. Normally every year we'll go see the festival at the DIA and it's only the live action features and animated. And I want to see all 15 of the shorts nominated. So leading into that, Best Picture, we got Belfast, we have Coda, we have Don't Look Up, we have Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, and The Power of the Dog.
And West Side Story.
Yes. Oh, and my thing cuts off. There's West Side Story. Because of an ad, I had to scroll down. I was like, I feel like one's missing here. So we'll start with Bobby and Joe, and just out of anything that you might have seen of this list or anything that you've heard about these, what are you rooting for? What are you excited to see if you haven't seen it? And what do you think what are the favorites here? Joe's got the odds.
Well, they don't have
Bobby. We'll start with you.
Oh yeah, let Bobby start, and then I can tell you what's going to win.
All right. So I mean, I've only seen of the movies on this list, Dune. So, We'll see. You know, I'm going to try to catch some more before the Oscars. I definitely want to see. I mean, I'm at least interested in all of them. But I do want to see Power of the Dog, because I think that's going to have a very strong run at the Oscars this year. King Richard, I want to see Will Smith, his performance at least. Coda, very interested in. So I'll catch some more. I don't really have a feeling of who is the favorite. Joe can give us the actual odds, but it seems like everyone has kind of different opinions, and I can definitely see Power of the Dog maybe taking it because I think it's going to have a strong year. But Joe, what do the actual odds say?
Well, I'll say this: of the movies I've seen, I've only seen Dune, King Richard, and The Power of the Dog, and none of those movies I watched really scream like, "Oh, this is a Best Picture! Like, this is a movie that, you know, will go down in its history and as one of the greatest movies of all time." So, as far as what am I rooting for? None of them, but Power of the Dog is gonna win. It's a heavy favorite. It's basically a race between Power of the Dog and Belfast, and I feel Power of the Dog has a lot more nominations, has a lot more Oscar voters behind it, and I'm pretty confident in its win. Mm-hmm. It's currently sitting at -150. Belfast is sitting at +225, and then in third place we have West Side Story at +600. So it's a pretty big gap between two and three. So it's basically going to be a race between Belfast and Power of the Dog, and I think Netflix is going to push hard for Power of the Dog.
Yeah, I think...
I hope so, because I don't want them to push for Don't Look Up.
Yeah, please don't push for Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up is a strange movie, because it's not getting hugely critically acclaimed yet. It seems to pop up at all of these award shows anyway, you know, and it seems like everyone's talking about, critics don't understand the movie, you know, that is dunking on this movie. Critics, what do they know? But it seems like critics are liking it. So this whole mythology of, Don't Look Up is a victim of the mean critics. It's like the critics are still awarding your movie awards. Like, I don't know what the thought process is of that. But I definitely think Power of the Dog will win. And I think it of the list, I'm not sad to see it win. I think it's one of the stronger movies here. And you talk about it being between Power of the Dog and Belfast. And for me, Belfast would be one of the most forgettable Oscar wins in a long time. You know, it would go down as one of those ones where you scroll through back the Wikipedia page in 20 years and you're like, Belfast? What's Belfast? I never heard of that one. And you watch it and you're like, that won Best Picture? Why did that win Best Picture compared to all these other movies that came out that year? And I think something like Dune would be an interesting win. I don't think it's necessarily going to do it. I think they're saving that for part two. But I think when they talk about wanting the Oscars to appeal to a mass audience, I think Dune could be their mass audience appeal. I think Drive My Car could be a crazy upset, you know, if they wanted to really do the Parasite thing and go in there and give the win to this outside foreign film. And I also want to shout out the strong variety here as well. I've talked about some of the variety of other categories, but I think this Best Picture list here shows, even without having some of the best movies of 2021 in there, I think it shows how strong of a year 2021 was. You have something like Coda, a very small festival favorite that stayed relevant for like over a year. People kept talking about Coda, and it still managed to get the win here. And you have the big blockbuster musical West Side Story, like the multi-million dollar huge scale thing. You have Drive My Car, the 3-hour epic that's really methodically slow. So I love that this is covering the whole gamut of movies here. It's not necessarily just, oh, what's the most popular ones? You know, what are the ones people are talking about? And sure, it has stuff like that on there, but I love the variety that we have. Even if we Don't Look Up, you know, I didn't love that movie, but it's cool to have like a crazy comedy nominated for Best Picture. You know, it's kind of a weird thing to do. An Adam McKay comedy got Best Picture nomination. That's kind of a crazy thing.
Yeah, except the Academy seems to really like Adam McKay for some reason. I mean, the Academy has such strong, like, I agree with the message of your movie, so your movie's good vibes. Like, just because you agree with the message of a movie doesn't make that movie good. Like, yeah, global warming is bad. Don't Look Up sucks. It's a bad movie. It's shocking that that's on here. It's a waste of a spot, honestly. But it's another one that every single voter saw that movie. So even if half of them voted for it, it's making that list. I would have liked to see, you know, some love for smaller movies here. Of my top 15 of the year, the only one that made this list, actually just kidding, two of them in my top 15, I have Dune and Coda as my 6 and 7 of the year, and those are both on here, so I'm rooting for one of those. But I think Power of the Dog will win, and I did really enjoy Power of the Dog. That is my number 16, so if that wins, I'm okay with it, but honestly, it's one that still, like, they talk about the Oscars and no one cares about them because they pick these like slow movies that not enough people care about. That is the Power of the Dog. I mean, that's not a film that you'd recommend to a general audience. I think you have to be a really big film fan and a fan of really, really slow pacing to enjoy it and be a fan of acting and cinematography and score and really like let all that come to you and piece it together, which, you know, that it does, and Campion will probably win Best Director, and that's probably going to win Best Picture. But out of those, like, I haven't seen Drive My Car yet, but that's one that I think would be exciting to see win. Dune, I don't think has any shot being like part one of two, and like King Richard's on there, which is a little surprising to me. I really enjoyed that movie much more than I thought I would, but outside of Will Smith and Anjanae Lewis, I mean, honestly, the whole cast is great. That one would be one that I'd put on there for like best ensemble cast. But as far as like a movie goes, it's a pretty typical sports biopic. I'm bummed that, you know, not enough people saw The Green Knight. That would have been a really fun one to throw on there. Even like The Mitchells versus the Machines or Flea. Like, you're telling me that some of the best animated movies of the year every year shouldn't at least get one in Best Picture? It's like international feature. You know, there should always be at least one international film on Best Picture list. There should always be an animated film. To me, there should always be a documentary. You have these other categories for it, but how can you say that every single American feature film, narrative film is better than other films in other categories? It's just what people vote for. I'd like to see that change. I want to see more love for international films. I want to see more love for animated films and, you know, just more love for even like documentaries, because there's some incredible ones and there we never get to see those nominated. I don't even know if we've ever had one. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, something like that ever get some love. Like Flea would have been a great choice for Best Picture this year. But alas, we get Nightmare Alley because it has big names and a big director. Belfast 2, Don't Look Up also. Honestly, West Side Story, everyone seemed to enjoy that saw it, so I can't really fault it for that. But like 7 of the 10 movies that got nominated, I would say are by big name directors. So I'd like some more obscurity in the best pictures going forward, but I don't know if we'll ever get there.
Yep. All right.
Anyone else have anything to add before we end it?
It would be a great one to watch. I'm excited to see the awards night and who wins. And a lot of the categories are very competitive. And like Joe went through the odds, some of them are not, but we've seen crazier upsets over the years at the Oscars, you know, so it'll always be fun to watch. Even for categories where right now I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I don't care who wins. The night I'm going to be sitting there on the edge of my seat, like, oh, man, who's taking this? And you're sitting there checking it off, trying to add up who's going to get best picture as you go along. So yeah, it'll be a fun year to watch.
Yeah, I'm just curious who's going to host at this point. They were going to name it on, like, nomination, be like, here's the nominees, and the host is going to be Tom Holland or whatever.
Right. My final words are justice for Pig.
Yeah. Where is Nick?
Yeah.
Yes, where's my pig? It's not on a single thing on here. Bullshit.
Where's old Henry, you know?
That's another one. Like, how many Academy voters saw old Henry? How many of them saw Pig? How many of them saw 9 Days? How many of them saw some of the other, like, favorites? I really loved the Australian film The Dry starring Eric Bana. But, like, those movies don't get watched. Unless they have screeners that they send directly to people for your consideration. Dear Evan Hansen, not one that should be on these lists, but maybe when you guys hear our nominations, Dear Evan Hansen gets some, I won't say some love, but maybe you hear that in one of our categories at least. But even like, I don't know, the Harder They Fall, that's a much better Netflix film than Don't Look Up. But you know, there's bigger names behind Don't Look Up and a lot more white people. So that gets nominated. Do you guys have, final thoughts? I don't think we have anything. We kind of went over everything. Thank you for everyone for checking this out. Let us, you know, find us on Twitter, find us on Letterboxd, find us on everything, social media, TikTok, Instagram. Let us know if you agree or disagree with some of our choices. If you liked being the Ricardos, you're a dummy and you should fight us. But yeah. Anything else? You guys might get some other thoughts on things when you hear our movie change-up nominations, which will be coming out soon after this episode, if not at a very similar time. So otherwise, as Joe always says, without further ado, goodbye.